don't own land in this town?
No, no, the corporation does not own 1 acre of land in the city.
But the majority of shareholders in the corporation, in the village corporation, mm-hmm. live here in this city.
We have 46% of the shareholders live in Nenana, yes. But most of them live on their own private land.
That they hold from the city, or?
No, that they bought themselves.
You said, is that what, that the people in this village, forgive mm-hmm. me for calling mm-hmm. it a village for the moment, but you said the native people at Nenana live by subsistence, are a subsistence people, and you said there were two studies you had done that proved that. What are those studies? Are they available?
One of them was just finished, and the other one is in the process of being reviewed now, but they were both done through the University of Alaska. One is through the Fish and Game, Division of Fish and Game, and the other, I think, is through the Wildlife.
Oh, and they were done by the University of Alaska?
Yes, uh-huh. I shouldn't say we had it done. They did it, uh-huh.
And that was the Fish and Game Department of the University of Alaska?
Yes. One of the studies that they did was for the gas and oil lease that they had done out in the area. And what they did was they were going to have this oil and gas sale out there, so they went ahead and made up a map of all the animals that were out there and how many they were. And they, I don't know where they got some of their information from or most of it, because they even claimed they counted the moose out there. But we've showed the map around to some other Native people that live in Nenana, and the map is wrong. So, well, I think what they did was they maybe held one meeting, which we didn't know about, and they have, everything is on a time limit, seems like. Every time we do something, you have to do it in a certain amount of time, and it's usually never enough time.
At any rate, those two studies, do you know when they were done, the years?
One was done in 82, was it, Gilbert? 81. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And the other one, it was just done this last winter.
Did they send them out to you after they were done?
No, we had to go get them.
Well, I'd like, if you've got a copy, maybe you can let me see it just so we can right away get our own copy.
Oh, I don't.
Thank you.
I can't think of anything else right now, but if I do, I'll be back.
Yes, thank you very much.
I'd like to talk about the village, how we thought we owned this whole ground up here, and from Mary Will Slough down to, there used to be a line down here that was the native ground, and all the way to Mary Will Slough. But last fall when I walked around the loop, you don't even know where's the trail. The trees is just all over the trail. And for like older older people like us that see in this village, it make us feel real bad to see them. When they first start talking about land here, we talked about land over at George Hall. They make us show them where is our winter trail, where we used to pick berries, and they put an X there. This village used to be a big village. Now there's nobody in the village because they've been fighting over lands, and we thought we owned this land for a while. I don't think any of us know how they ever got it back, or we don't know how the church deal with them, or and not only me think of that. I talked a lot to older women, older men, like Alfred Starr. He doesn't know either. All those berry patches back there, there's roads all over. You could see right through. There's no place that we could go no more. It makes lots of us feel real bad to see what happened to Nenana. Nenana used to have just nothing but native peoples. Now, I don't know if we got anything. We got no place for our kids to make a home. And lots of us that don't know how to read and write, we don't even know what they have meetings for. Long time ago, when they used to have meetings, they used to have about two guys sitting in front and explain it to the people what they're having meeting for. That's why you don't see lots of old people come to meeting, because they don't want to sit here and they don't know what they're talking about. Even me, because I don't know how to read and I don't know how to write. But I was just telling my friend back there, I don't even know what they're talking about. And she said, me too. But I just thought I'd talk about this land, because last fall when I went up that way, it really hurt it to see our roads just all plowed to one place and trees all over. Now, even where we park our boat, this year will be our last year we can park there. We don't own nothing around here. And I don't know what we put all those X and things down for when that landman came here.
Was that for this study that, no.
He make us mark the winter trail and everything.
The X's were put down for this study that you just gave me, called Modern Foragers, Wild Resource Use in Nenana Village, Alaska. Anne Shinkwin, SHINKWIN, PhD, Associate Professor, Anthropology and Alaska Native Studies Programs, and Martha Case, Anthropology Program, University of Alaska.
I don't know if we did that when Hank was chief.
1983.
I don't know if it was Hank or Alphonse, one of them. Anyway, we had quite a few meetings over there because he wanted to know about the place, and everybody went to that meeting.
Got maps here, and so. Mm-hmm.
So it really makes us feel bad about our land. We don't know how the church returned it, or if they didn't. It's supposed to be our land. A lot of older people that knew about this village, maybe it wouldn't happen. But there's lots of us that don't remember a lot of things. And only one that we used to count on so much was Laura Alpert, but she's not here anymore. She used to explain a lot of things to us. And I hope they do something about it, so.
Thank you, ma'am. Oh, could we have your name again, ma'am?
Nora Lord.
Nora?
Lord.
L-O-R-D, yes. Thank you, Mrs. Lord. Did you say that you've given us this, but this is your copy, I take it. I think we could probably get one. Let me just show it to Mr. Case.
I'd like to try to explain to Nora and some of the older people about the land up here in the village. When the church came in, they were allowed to have 640 or 680 acres up here for the church. Well, when the church left, all of the land, so far as we can tell, went to the town site trustee, which is under the federal government, George Gustafson. And in 1964, I think it was, or 63, at a village council meeting here, some people that had lived on the lands up in the village were allowed to sign up and receive lots that their ancestors had lived on. Well, I looked at the map, and so I went to Anchorage, and I asked Mr. Gustafson what happened to all the land, and he said that it was in a trust. Because of another court case, there was $3,200 that was owed on this land in St. Mark's Addition. So we came back. I told him, I said, well, I'm sure that we can round the money up to and pay the $3,200, and then the Native Corporation would have that land. Well, when I came back and called him, he said that the city of Nenana had already come in and paid the $3,200. And under the law, he said that the main entity in Nenana, which would be the city, was allowed to take that land. And we went to see what happened to the church lands, because I know that the church still holds some land in Nenana, so we went to started digging around the church records. We couldn't find any here, so when Dan Alex went to Washington, D.C., we had Dan, through another attorney, look up for a church records after talking to some older people from Minto and Nenana that when the railroad had come through, that they did pay the natives a small sum of money, but we don't know how much. So we went through the archives in Washington, D.C., and the one in Texas, and there were church records for all of the Episcopal churches and missions in the state of Alaska, but there was nothing, not one piece of paper for Nenana, and we're still trying to find those records. There is a case now filed by Aligina Corporation and two others out of Anchorage that are protesting the transfer of townsite lands, which would include St. Mark's Mission, and that's been in court for 2 years now. So we're waiting for the outcome of that, but we are going to probably challenge the trustee for turning that lands over to the city. The other thing Jack Hoggill says, or I should say the city of Nenana, says that he's such a good guy that if we give up all our 1,280 acres, he might give us the land, the town site lands, but we don't know whether he will or whether he won't.
Thank you, Mrs. Ackerman. Excuse me for taking a bite of this sandwich. We didn't have any lunch, and it being 4 o'clock, we kind of got a little hungry. Well, we'll take a 5-minute break, and then we'll reconvene and see if there are any others that wish to speak this afternoon. Would that be all right? We'll just take a break for 5 minutes and stretch our legs.
By the way, it's warmer. It's warmer outside than it is in here. What was the point of the study? Was it?
Oh, Mrs. Atwood, one of the directors, was speaking. Well, I think we'll just reconvene now, and see if there's anybody else that wishes to speak. Take a look at that. Meeting was arranged on short notice, and I think it's been a good meeting. And we'll see if there's anybody else that wishes to say anything now. Yes, Mr. Kessler.
Gilbert Kessler from Indiana. I just want to say,
excuse
I have
me, is this stuff on? Is this on?
Yeah. Oh. I just wanted to say a word about subsistence. It is still very important to Indiana, I think, because there's not too much industry or employment around Indiana. About 35 years ago, when I left here, of course, I came back here in 78. There was more natives employed around, and like on the dock, railroad, somewhat out the CAA, than there is now. You don't see, I don't know that you can, as far as I can see, there's only maybe two or three natives working, maybe one on the dock. I don't know, there's, I myself blame it, there's discrimination, there's, as far as the barge company or the dock, they're migratory, they live, I think they live mostly in Washington, Oregon, or somewhere up in the lower 48. Because transportation is so much easier nowadays, I guess. And The way I see it, if we're not endorsed by the mayor here in Nenana, you probably wouldn't be able to get a job around here. I know one way I can get a job is probably if I play ball with him. But
is the city council here, does it consist primarily of native people or non-native people?
I can't think of any native on the city of Nenana is dominated by whites, and I don't think there's any natives on the council of Nenana. And it seemed like to me the fish and wildlife is sitting here at Nenana sitting pretty hard on the Indians, because there at one time I counted 8 wildlife agents down here running up and down the river. They have one here stationed here permanently. And they've actually come up to me in full uniform and give me a warning for no reason at all, just to inform me that he wasn't given citations, he was given warnings. And I said, what for? You know, he just going around intimidating, and I told him so, but I don't know, I kind of think maybe it would take you. I'm not in a labor force anymore, but if I was, I'd probably take him to court or something and get a job. But because there's a lot of the city doesn't hire anybody in their office or anything, I don't think. And I've seen where they were get grants from the federal and the state, and they were there supposedly be a equal opportunity employer, which I don't think they are. We're, of course, you know, we were having quite a time with our 3E, which is supposedly a land that government surplus land that goes to the Native Corporation. I can't see where the city really has a say-so in the 3E, but the 14C, I think what we're talking to now before is on account of the 14C section of the land claims that we have to deal with them. Of course, our city, they want 25,000 acres instead of this at 1280. But the way they want it is not spelled out in the land claims. It's pretty vague, and what it says is for village expansion, but they want land that's up to 25 miles away from the city limits. They've made a couple attempts to expand their city boundaries. Once they applied for city limits clean over about, I don't know, it's about 70 miles west of here to the Kantishna River, but the Boundary Commission didn't go for it. This last winter they tried to get probably 150,000-160,000 acres north of the river by asking their, what few residents over there to vote on it, and nobody, well, there's a couple of people voted for it, but the bulk didn't want to have, there was no benefit from it except taxation. So that's, I mean, that's a big threat that the city will, I don't know if they can expand their borders that far, maybe they'll form a borough, but that's one of our big threats to our lands.
Thank you, Mr. Kessler.
I'm Charlie Titus from Minto, Alaska. This is my opinion about land claim. At first, when it was going to start, all the elderlies thought it was going to be the same way as it was before. We didn't know who was going to run into all this kind of stuff in the last 10 years. I really was for it, because what I thought at that time, I thought we'll get the land we trapped on and nobody will bother us. That's what I thought. After 10 years, I changed my mind right from the beginning, when people start moving into our trap lines and our fish camp. We don't even have title to those things no more. Right now there's people moving into my trap line and I can't even say nothing about it. And I've been trapping there for about 35 years. Things like that, it's what the people's really up against. Another thing is the state can just start up cat any place and just tear up your land. And they wouldn't think nothing of it. I noticed when I was working up slope, those people, they never even let snow go or anything hit the ground. That's how careful they were. Up further up north, up this way, people just do anything they want to do on our land. We can't stop them. So a land claim is just a big name. We don't get nothing out of it. And it's just a big word, this land claim. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Like Charlie Titus just said, ANSCA is just a big word. I think one of my concerns about the ANSCA law is also that there's one section that spells out the responsibility of the regional corporation to the village corporation. And since I've become involved, I don't see the regional helping the native village corporations at all. A point in fact is when Shell Oil decided that they would like to go out here in the so-called agricultural project, the act says the regional corporations are responsible to the village corporation. $150,000 for the rights to go out there on Nenana, Togutili Corporation's land. Well, if they had asked us for approval, we might have had a chance to say, hey, what about half? Who controls the regional corporation? Who stands above them and says, you have to abide by this law? The law is written for the regional, certain things for them to do, which they don't. And I don't think there's anybody that's looking over the shoulders of the regionals nor the village corporations to see that they're complying to the law. It just seems to be haphazard, is what I'm saying. And there really isn't any control. No control, so you have dissatisfaction amongst your stockholders.
And I thank you, Mr. Stewart.
Well, I'm just like Lena and Charlie and them say, it's just a big thing, a big word and all that, you know. It's not like it used to be and it never will be. And what I say right now, I said this over and over again. I said that in Fairbanks too, and I'm gonna say it here again. Some of you didn't hear what I said up there. I says, look how many $1,000 a year them guys are getting, and things happening in our land. I was against that. Just like Chief Thomas said himself, before he passed away, he said, your people's going to be robbed. He says, the Indians going to be stealing from the Indians. Now look what's happening. He said, this place is not going to be. You people are going to be just like this. And that's what's going to happen to the next generation. They're going to be just like this. You can't go pick berries. You can't do nothing. And that's what we're trying to do right now. All you got a chance to speak and should say something. Because this welfare in the government is just it's just boiling us. And we want to try to get away from that. It's all right if you're just down and out or something like that, but if you're able to, why get that thing? When I had a heart attack, I went up to Tanna Chief and see if I could get help from them. No, nothing. I just wanted to get them to help me pay my room down there. They won't help me. A lot of things like that. So I said, the heck with them. I ain't going to bother with them no more. And here, like here in Indiana, this used to be a village at one time. And look over here by the railroad over there, what they did over there. There was a graveyard over there, and they just blast the whole thing right out. They moved some of them, but there was still some there. And nobody never brought that up. That's thought of. There's probably a couple of them that knows about that. And that should be brought up too. Now, if we did that, they'd be right on us. There's a lot of things I'd like to explain to what they can achieve, not doing what they're not doing right, and all sorts of things. Look what's happening. Where one kid got killed in town, they never said a word about it, nothing. Now, we did it, they'd sued us for it. And look what they're talking about now. They're talking about the pioneer. Bob Bills was my good friend, but I'm gonna give him a few of my lip. Too easy. I'm gonna tell him what I think of him. It's not right. I'm not gonna let nobody talk about my people like that. And all of you should stick up, say something about that. 20 years ago, the Indians wasn't allowed to go to Pioneer. And all of them things should be looked at. And just like this woman put in paper the other day, she said that we had land and we had money and we're still bitching. Are we getting anything? No. All of them things we got looked at. And that's where I say right now, she's starting speaking up now. Say what we think the best, and we should just not try to buck each other. Because this thing is just, I'm thinking about the next generation. Because later on, money ain't going to be nothing. That's what they're after right now. They want the money. And we want land. I want land. I want a place where I want to go trapping. I got a place out there. I got to register a trap line. Well, what the heck's the use of having a registered trap line when every night there's a snow machine going out there, they're running over your trap line and all that. It don't pay. And I paid $15 a year to have it registered. It don't pay. So all them things like that I'm going to bring up. I told the Tanna Chief and Dayan, I told him, I said, you guys ain't going to do it. I said, I'm going to do it, which I will too. I'm going to keep bucking this thing, but I've got to have some help. Because we got this big meeting coming up, and look what they promise us, and we never seen a damn thing of that thing. That's a year ago, and they said we'll get that in 6 months, and it's only what's the $8,000 just for them logs, and the elders never got them, and they go to the Boy Scout and give them $10,000. I'll be damned. Does that make any damn sense? A lot of them things got to be looked into. I'm just sick and tired. Well, once in a while, I think about it when I go lay down. Lay down, then I think about it. So what am I going to tell my students tomorrow? Because they come up with the same question that, like I'm saying right now, they ask me, what are we going to do later on? And they come up with some good questions too. So I told them, I said, you just got to learn how to survive. Well, we don't. Well, I said, that's what I'm here for. I see you people just come and ask me. Sometimes they stay in my room till 12 o'clock and keep asking me. Because I asked them, I said, did your folks ever tell you anything? No. They says, you're 18 years old. You can do what you want to do. So they told me, they said, what shall I do? Well, I said, if I were you, I said, I'd go through college and And that way you can, it'll be hard to get job. And I said later on, like what I'm telling you right now, just think about that. All the culture, what I'm telling you, just tape it and tape it. And there, I got four of them up there now that they can talk native now. And see, they're learning fast. They're catching on. Now I tell them what's going to happen. And I tell them, you mark that down as you watch, depression come. I said, money ain't going to be nothing. The young generation is going to be really suffering for it. They can't get water, can't get another darn thing, and that's what I'm thinking of. Oh, I think about a lot of things. I remember what Chief Thomas said. He said, and it's happening now. It's happening now. And I just don't like what they're doing to us, and we're not working together. Now we're going to have that big meeting in June. Now I'm trying to get people together so we can all get together and make them come through with what they promise. We'll never get that money if we just sit there. They say they keep promise, like they're voting. That voting, I don't know about that. The delegates, I don't know. They're afraid. Just like they're lying to their own mother and dad too, just to get that. I know there's people, I got nephews mental, and they're supposed to be religious, and they're doing that to their own damn people. That's what makes me so damn mad. And that's about all I got to say.
Thank you, sir.
I wonder, Mr. Berger, if in fact you could include in your final paper the statistics on the native leaders that have $100,000 homes as a result of them holding a position within the native land claims. Because I remember sitting in the one of the sessions in Fairbanks the last few days. Somebody said, oh, the Alaska Native Claims Act was the best thing ever, because everybody got jobs. Everybody has raised their standard of living. But who has raised their standard of living? It's those people that have been in the power, somebody like Tim Wallace that put a price tag on his job that he thinks is worth $129,000 a year. I found it hard in my own life to even have a bank consider loaning me any money to build a house. We had 160 acres, but they said, no, you're 12 miles out of town, you don't have any water. They wouldn't even loan us a $5,000 loan, because we had probably at that time about 6 kids, and my husband was an engineer. He was off here and off there, nothing with a permanent job. So I relate to the people that can't go to the bank and get a loan, but I think it should be included in part of the paper to show the federal government and the statistics of people that own the big homes and have been able to get them, because I sure in the hell wasn't able to get them under my own. And I worked 20 and a half years with the Department of Highways, but the banks wouldn't look at me, even, like I say, when we had 160-acre homestead. And we had the land to back the loan. I think that's my thought.
When I was a boy about 70 years ago, there was many white men here in Alaska. And there was no airplanes, no railroad, but the Yukon River was full of steamboats. That's the only way they could get their food up here. And a lot of the natives was hired on those river boats. I was told, and I believe it too, that Sidney Light claimed that young people have a hard time getting work. That's the worst of it. And I noticed when I was in Canada, up in the Barbine country, that the Indians have a good land law there. That is, that the Canadian government protect their land on their trapping grounds. And those things, I try to get that, talk to them in Juneau, and they tell me, well, the Canadians have a different law, and Americans have a different law. And it's pretty hard to protect native land where they make a living, trapping and things like that. I got 6 cans of canned silver or king salmon, I think, the other day from Tanana. And that's way better the fish than they can in the canneries. And I do this in Canada and the United States again, the western part of it. That's greater part of the Indians is preserving their food and they sell a little of that fish. What I'm talking about is that young people can't get work. Now they're taking children away from their mothers because they can't support them, they can't make a living, they can't get a job. And that's the Secretary of Interior is coming in a couple of days, so I read that in the paper, and it should be that somebody like me, when I talked for the natives all my life, should be able to talk to him. I don't know, I haven't been Fairbanks to find out, but I'll try to go find out tomorrow. Explain those things. I told Judo, the lawmakers, about the Indians, young people not getting into work. And they said, it is state work. It is state work that the state spend money on. That a certain amount of young people will have to work. I told them to do that because the young people can't support their families. If they're too young to get pension, the old people getting pension, they're not so bad to them. But the young people that's supporting their families. And that's some of the things that will have to be recorded. And that's all I feel.
Thank you, Mr. Starr.
I'm Mrs. Riley, and I'm from Minto. I like to say, I'm a poor woman. I don't have a home. I don't have a house. I have a house, but it's not worth calling a house. And I live on fish, meat, and berries, if I could get it. And with this land claim going on, it sounds like it's going to be real rough on us. We even have to have permission to have pick berries now, and I don't think that's right. My daddy had house over here under the bridge, in case some of the people here don't know it. And Howard Luke's mom had house right down below this hall here, I remember. And I could name all of them all the way down the line, but I don't want to take up too much time. I believe all those kids are going to come back someday. I know they will. You know, where you was born, you always come back. I don't care how long you're gone, you're always back there. And anyway, that you're back there to be buried. And I'd like for you to turn off the mic. I'd like to leave this word with my people.
Well, if there's no one else who wishes to speak, I just want to thank all of you for coming this afternoon. The meeting had to be arranged on short notice, and I think it's been a very good meeting, and the presentations have been helpful, and a lot of good points have been raised. Certainly it's helped me to understand how the Land Claims Act has worked here in your area of here in Nenana. And I can tell you that I'm going to Tanacross tomorrow to hold a meeting, and then next month I'll go to Southeast Alaska to hold meetings there, and then I'll be back up in the interior in June, and then in July, and then to the North Slope in August. So we hope to visit every region and see what people have to say. And my report will come out in the summer of 1985, and it'll be sent to all the people who have testified. You'll get a copy of it. And I want to thank you again for the presentations that you made, and to thank all those who helped to organize the meeting, because Eileen McLean, who works for me, and Mary Kenswick, who works for me, they're supposed to be organizing meetings, but they didn't get out here to organize this one. And Mrs. Atwood and Mr. Kessler and the others who organized it for us, I do want to thank you very, very much. I hope to see you all again. And we'll declare the meeting adjourned.
I'd like to leave this word with my people. My Aunt Laura told me before she passed away, she say, "You're going to take over. I give you all the responsibility of bringing soup, coffee, and tea to the church. I don't think I'll live up to that responsibility." She come down to me, Nana, and she talked to her people once in a while. And this is what I'd like to leave with you. While our people are fighting each other among land, the white man is up there in the office typing out what land he wants. Don't let that happen. Go out to your land and stay on it and work on it. I have a problem. I have to stay in town with my husband. If it wasn't for that, and if I had somebody strong with me, I'll be out there on my land. So don't fight among each other. Just work this thing out together and get it going. And you're going to make something. We are going to make something of ourselves. We are going to get on our own 2 feet. Our grandma and grandpa did. I don't see why we can't. We all got mouths and we all got hands and feet. We could do it. You know, my people, We could do it. Don't let white man tell you you can't do it. We could do it. Anything we want to do, all we have to do is just get enough courage and strength to go on and do it. And let's pray together and get it through. I've been trying to talk to my people at home too. I'm not much of a talker because I always get nervous. I really miss Auntie Laura for the last 2 days. I'm just trying to break up my sorrow by coming back to Nenana and facing where she sat and what she said. We were raised up here, my brother, Al John, Howard Luke, I could name them just about few on my hands. This is our ground too. We lived up here. We're one. Nenana and Minto is one. That's where we always, our old people always told us to think like that and keep it like that. I have nothing against white people. In fact, all my daughters, our daughters, are married to white men. Okay, God bless you. Let's make the most of this. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.